Good evening, folks. This is The Weird Part, and I am your host, Vincent Treewell. Tonight we will be discussing a paranormal phenomena that doesn't get as much attention as some others, like UFOs or the Loch Ness Monster or spirits, and may have flown under the radar for many of us. I'm talking tonight about liminal animals, or a different kind of cryptid. I'm referring to normal, recognized, accepted, real physical creatures that show up in places where they logically can't be, where there is a mystery attached to where they came from, where they went, who, where, how, and why they could exist in the environment where they're found. I have to begin by giving credit where credit is due. Timothy Renner, on a recent episode of the Strange Familiars podcast, was interviewing a guest who had extensive experience with mountain lions and yet encountered a mountain lion, or as they're also known, a panther, in an area where panthers have been extinct for over a century. And while it appeared to be a physical, quote-unquote, real animal, it really practically could not have been one. And his mention thereof in the interview jogged my memory and my interest in the subject. Also, Nathan Isaac, host of the Penny Royal podcast, addressed Black Panthers in Kentucky back in the January episode. And the fact that Black Panthers are seen on a semi-regular basis, even though they've been officially extinct for over a century. And especially the Black Panthers, the melanistic, kind of the opposite of albino, those should be extremely rare to essentially non-existent, even when there is a population, which there isn't. And yet, people keep seeing them. So that was kind of on my mind, and hence this episode. Also, I read on a pretty regular basis the British magazine 14 Times, and they do regular coverage of what in the UK they call ABCs, alien big cats, which are, as the name suggests, large cat animals, cougars, tigers, panthers, pumas, that are not native to Britain, and yet people see them, people interact with them, people have encounters with these animals that can't really be there. They can't really be a large predator living in modern-day Britain and not leaving tons of physical evidence and not being discovered. And yet, people see what they see. And not just a glimpse, but full-on encounters, interactions. And so this is a phenomena. This is something that is repeated all around the world and has many, many different variations and comes close to home for me. In 2015, there was apparently a full-size African lion walking around Milwaukee for a couple of weeks in 2015 in the summer. The Milwaukee Lion was a real thing. There is some footage available on the internet where you can see it. It looks like a lion to me. The Milwaukee County Zoo was quick to say, no, we have all our lions, not one of ours. It was, to the extent it was explained away at all, when the press could stop giggling about it, it was explained as probably being an exotic pet, which seems to me to be the lack of an explanation, because, of course, no owner was ever found. And if you've watched the miniseries Tiger King, you know that lions aren't something. They're not a goldfish. They cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't casually get rid of one. Also, it was walking around for a couple of weeks. People pointed out, well, what exactly is it eating? Where is it feeding? Where is it living? but yet it did seem to be a real and physical beast at the time. No one knows where it came from. Nobody knows where it went. There were numerous witnesses. In the show notes, I'm going to try to put a photo of from the newspaper, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, of the police from Milwaukee and the Department of Natural Resources from the state of Wisconsin are en masse on a bridge looking for the lion. And the Milwaukee police officers have sniper rifles out. The DNR officers have tranquilizer guns. And everybody's taking this completely seriously. It was witnessed by law officers. It was witnessed by credible people. And then it was gone. And apparently has stayed gone. Though something similar was witnessed a couple years later. And then likewise disappears. And that kind of is the phenomena. An animal seen, it's searched for, no one knows where it comes from, no one knows where they go. Staying for a moment within the Metro Milwaukee area, in 1978, April 1978, there were kangaroos seen by numerous witnesses, independent of each other, in Brookfield, Pewaukee, and Muskego, all nearby suburbs of the city of Milwaukee. Numerous separate witnesses saw what they described as kangaroos. There was an investigation. Kangaroos were never found, never captured, and eventually the whole thing blew over. In 2000, and this is all documented in an article August 2nd, 2015, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Chris Foran. In 2000, a man came forward saying that he and his brother had hoaxed the entire kangaroo episode using what he described as a plywood cutout of a picture of a kangaroo with handles on it, and that they had all done so just for laughs, and that there was nothing to the kangaroos, that they had faked the entire thing. To me, that sounded nothing so much as like the older British guys that said that they had knocked down the crops to make crop circles in Britain, and therefore that's what the crop circles were about. It was these two guys just having a laugh at someone else's expense. And as with that, I have to say that just because something may have been faked doesn't mean the entire thing was faked. The real twist, to me, came in 2005 when an actual kangaroo was found in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. And the Dodgeville kangaroo was placed in a zoo where it lived for several years. It was never explained where it came from. Several people did come forward and said, "That's my kangaroo," but it had a mark on it which no one could ever identify. It eventually died of old age without ever being explained how on earth a kangaroo came to show up in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. But that did happen. While researching liminal animals, and particularly the most sought-after liminal animal in the United States, the Eastern Panther, I came across a couple of excellent articles. A January 2018 piece in Outside Magazine by Wes Seiler that goes into the details of the Eastern Panther being found extinct and the impact thereof, and a slightly older April 2004 article in Harper's Magazine by Jay Kirk that goes into quite a level of detail with the liminal nature of the Eastern Panther. I should just point out for a moment that I use the terms mountain lion, cougar, panther, painter, and puma interchangeably because it is current scientific thinking that they are all one species in the Eastern United States, that species is extinct, but is genetically the same as the mountain lions, cougars, panthers, etc., that exist in the West, and that is the Puma Conclure Cougar, which name I probably just mangled, but it is one species, and the Eastern panther is officially legally extinct. Now, it's extremely similar genetically to the mountain lions that live on the West Coast and in the Western states, but the official verdict as of right now is that Eastern panthers only live, a few dozen of them, in Florida, that all the rest are extinct. This is not nearly as simple as it sounds, because as Mr. Kirk went into great length to research, there is a large body of people looking for proof of the Eastern panther's current existence and suggesting a conspiratorial nature to what frustrates that endeavor, which to anyone who's a student of the paranormal will sound really similar to what happens with other cryptids. I will mention briefly that there is the group that Kirk interacts with in 04 is the Eastern Puma Research Network, the EPRN. They're still in existence. They're on Facebook. I joined their Facebook group. They are pretty much what you would expect. They're out there looking for Eastern cougars and to prove that they are a flesh and blood creature with a breeding population hidden deep in the outback, you might say, of the United States, and surviving to this day. Just to give a brief history and kind of background, the Eastern panther was a very much alive, very real apex predator that terrified a lot of the early settlers in the Eastern United States and into the Midwest from the earliest moves west by white colonizers. And in fact, some of the Native Americans were not too wild about it either. It was dreaded as a truly terrifying creature to encounter if you were so unlucky to have it come after you in the woods. It was the object of dread, and perhaps for that reason, and depredations on cattle, and just general fear of this huge cat that can kill people, kill livestock, take down horses. Bounties were paid early on in America's history for dead Eastern panthers. And to give a brief list of when the last ones were killed out, they're definitely killed out en masse by bounty hunting and by overhunting and the general desire to get rid of them as a threatening predator. The official last known Eastern panthers killed in the U.S. include, in 1818 for Illinois, 1830 for New Jersey, 1858 for Massachusetts. The last bounty paid in Pennsylvania was 1868, and the last official confirmed Eastern panther was shot to death in Vermont in 1881. So we're going back a ways. We're not talking about something that just happened. And for a long time, for several decades, the Eastern panther was considered to be eradicated. It was considered to be extinct. And for a number of decades, that was considered to be a good thing. It was considered to be a predator, a threat to humans and livestock, and the general consensus is that we're glad we killed them all. And then, around the 1950s and 60s, people began seeing them. And that includes a man named Roger Cowburn, who went on to found the Eastern Puma Research Network, a cryptozoologist named John Lutz, and a coal miner turned cougar researcher, Todd Lester, of the Eastern Cougar Foundation. And there were obviously numerous others, but there began to form a group of like-minded individuals that believe that there are still a breeding population of hidden panthers, aka cougars, aka painters, aka mountain lions, in the eastern and midwestern United States, everything east of the Rockies. And they have been spotted all over the East Coast and all over the Midwest. And then it gets even a bit weirder. There is a lot of friction between panther believers, people who go out and look for the Eastern panther in ways that are extremely similar to how people go out and look for Bigfoot. They take plaster casts of the paws, the tracks. They put up trail cams. They interpret film. They look for hair and scat. They collect witness sightings. And the general consensus, again, among authorities, is that there is nothing there, and if there is something there, it's an escaped exotic pet. And that leads us to a conspiracy theory. It is the belief, or a belief, that goes around quite a lot in the Eastern Panther research community, as you might call it, the EPRN, and other affiliated groups, that the government, the U.S. government, secretly reintroduced the panther. Why would they do so secretly instead of just openly saying they did, like other species have been reintroduced? Well, because panthers aren't like other species. They are a real dangerous apex predator. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't reasons why ecologically they should be reintroduced, but there is liability if the government did reintroduce this animal, and then it kills somebody, they could be on the hook for liability. That actually happened on the West Coast, where nobody argues that mountain lions and cougars exist, and where they have sometimes killed people. And in California, particularly, there are a number of lawsuits that have been filed, some are ongoing, I can't update the legal status, but it's a thing that happens, that there are lawsuits going on over people killed and harmed by panthers that have been, as the plaintiff would say, mismanaged by their Department of Natural Resources. So the conspiracy theory around the Eastern panther is that the government, U.S. government, at the behest of logging companies and at the behest of the car insurance companies, again, this is, I'm not saying this happened, I'm saying this is what the conspiracy theory is, that they secretly reintroduced the panthers to control the deer population, which, as anybody who lives in the Midwest and probably a lot of other regions of the country can tell you, if you live anywhere near a wooded area, you've got deer, and you've got deer that don't fear humans and don't fear cars, and deer collisions are a huge thing. And it is the allegation that the big insurance companies are tired of paying out for deer and would like an alpha predator to be introduced that would bring down the deer population. And this leads to reports, many anonymous, some on the record, that the U.S. government over decades, through different agencies, has secretly introduced Eastern panthers back into their historical habitat. And that includes lowering them from helicopters, releasing them from crates, sometimes with radio tracking, sometimes just unleashed into the wild. I cannot vouch or even express a solid opinion on this, but there are a lot of people who believe that, and I don't discard it. In another similarity to Bigfoot research, there is the ongoing and significant problem of disappearing evidence. The seemingly self-negating aspect of a number of paranormal phenomena. Somewhat as detailed by Timothy Renner and Joshua Cutchins in their Where the Footprints End books about Bigfoot and Bigfoot research, the Panther researchers seem to have the same problem. Tracks, casts of tracks, disappear. Evidence of all sorts disappears. Scat disappears. Photos disappear. Things are misfiled. Bones disappear. Records are located and then vanish. And this happens again and again and again. Now, some of that could be just regular human error, government cover-up, non- or deprioritization of the Panther issue by genuinely public-spirited good guys in animal management and natural resources agencies that probably feel there are other things more pressing than looking for Eastern Panthers that they believe aren't there. But there does seem to be an undercurrent of everything that goes to proving that the Eastern Panther is a current reality seems to vanish. And that probably comes as no surprise to fellow students of the paranormal. That whether it's UFO medals or Bigfoot hair or 101 things that are firm, solid physical evidence of paranormal activity, they seem to just always not be there when someone comes looking for them. And the Panthers are no exception. When there is good, solid evidence of something that indicates this is a real animal, then when someone comes looking for it, it's gone. It's misfiled, it's vanished. The big difference, to me, the pivotal difference between people who are looking for the Eastern Panther and people who are looking for lake monsters or Bigfoot or a number of other creatures that have never been accepted by science is that the Eastern Panther was at one time an undeniable reality. It's a historically real thing, and yet it can never be nailed down today. And if you look back at those dates, I mean, they're all in the 1800s. These things have all been wiped out a long time ago, and there's pretty solid historical evidence that they were wiped out. So what are people interacting with? What are people really seeing? And that's where I think we have to be open-minded. And I think we have to be willing to face some weird possibilities. Is it perhaps that the Panthers appear now and again from a parallel dimension? That perhaps if there is a multiverse, that we're not very far from alternate realities where the Panther never was wiped out. And so it appears from time to time. And during that moment, it is real and it is physical and it leaves traces. But then the window closes, the portal shuts down, whatever happens, happens, and it's non-existent again. That's one theory. That's a theory. theory people have about Bigfoot. That's the theory people have about generally cryptids as a group. And I think that it's something that applies to the Eastern Panther, and particularly the Eastern Black Panther, because melanistic panthers are rare at best, even in places that have a current breeding population. The all-black ones are, just like albinos, are exceptional. And the fact that people see them so regularly, but nobody ever kills one, nobody ever catches one, we never find a dead one. If this starts to sound like Bigfoot research, I think that's probably for a reason. Because I think that ultimately, and this is just my opining, but I think that they are of the same nature. That whatever these other paranormal phenomenon are, I think the Eastern Panther is one of them too. And that they are liminal animals. And they reside in a space which is neither real. Real is what they were 200 years ago. Extinct is what they officially are now. But within that, they reside at a neither nor world. A reality which you can see them for a moment, but you can't bring them home. And that is kind of the nature of all of these different phenomena. Now I'd like to shift gears just a bit, maybe not even that much, and talk about ABCs, talk about alien big cats in the British Isles. I came upon an excellent article in The Guardian, April 14th of 2019, that discussed the efforts over the last 20 years of a Rick Minter and Frank Tunbridge to research alien big cats and to come up with numerous voluminous eyewitness accounts and extended. These are not glances. These are not, I saw something moving in the shadows. These are often terrifying encounters with witnesses of creatures that resemble cougars, lynxes, panthers, and the similar things to what you might find lurking in the Eastern United States. And of course, these are not at all, unlike the Eastern Panther, which was centuries ago a natural animal in the Eastern U.S., these are creatures that have never been native to Britain, but did, in fact, have a presence there as fairly widespread exotic pets about a century ago. I recently saw a TV program, I believe it was on the Travel Channel, which purported to solve the alien big cats mystery by saying that, well, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, having large cats, wild animals, as exotic pets was very fashionable among rich people in Britain. And when they were banned, some people let them go. And that's their descendants. And that seemed to me to be quite an inadequate answer to how there could still be a breeding population that would be enough, and yet is virtually never caught. You know, they're never killed, they're never trapped, you never find a dead one. Nobody knows where they come from, nobody knows where they go, nobody knows where they live when they're not being seen, or what they feed off of in general, and yet people keep seeing them, and they keep leaving tracks, and videos recorded, pictures are taken, and yet nobody can seem to get their hands on the final credible physical proof. And that's kind of what makes them a cryptid. According to the Guardian article, there were 155 reported sightings of alien big cats. And these are the ones reported to police in a 3-year period. Now, those are the ones where somebody actually came forward and called law enforcement and made an official report that they saw this thing, which, like any paranormal phenomena, not everyone cares to do. And in fact, I understand why someone would be truly hesitant to say that they saw a Black Panther in their garden when they live in Britain. And that's not something that can practically exist there. And yet, sometimes it appears they do. In 1983, following reports that something had killed over 100 sheep, a unit of Royal Marines were deployed to search for the creature, but, not surprising to anyone, didn't come up with any physical evidence, never captured it, never killed it, and these things just disappear. In 1995, the Ministry of Agriculture conducted an intensive 6-month investigation and concluded that there was no verifiable evidence of the so-called Beast of Bogman, which was an alien big cat that had been reported for the last couple decades. And that's how these things seem to go. We always have the pictures, we always have the stories, we always have the plaster casts of tracks, but we never have the thing itself. And that's kind of the nature of liminal animals. They are, well, liminal. The Guardian article concludes by comparing ABCs to the quantum physicist's Schrodinger's hypothetical simultaneously real and unreal cat, and posits that British big cats inhabit a contradictory state, their existence both imagined and real. I really like that statement because I feel it applies to a lot of the paranormal, that it does inhabit a contradictory state, that it is somehow both imagined and real, or perhaps imagined by some and sometimes real. Sometimes here, sometimes not here. And that's kind of what this whole thing is and is not. And that's, I guess, why we find it fascinating. Thank you for listening. This is The Weird Part. I'm Vincent Treewell. Good night.